Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm your host, Meredith Curtis, and I'm so excited that you're here with me today. We're going to talk about how to enjoy history. Arg! Some of you are already saying history. Yes, history. You are going to have a different perspective of history by the end of this podcast. So maybe you like history, but you find it hard to keep track of everything in your mind. Maybe it's hard to remember stuff. Or maybe you're a homeschool mom and your kids love history, but you don't, and you have to teach them. Or maybe you love history and you want your teens and kids to love it too, but they just don't seem to enjoy it. Maybe you're a teenager and you think you don't like history, but you really do. Well, we'll find out. So to start with, I just want to let everyone listening know that history is not just a bunch of dry, boring facts. History is a grand story written by God himself with a beginning and an end and with a focal point. The beginning of history is creation, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he went on to create the earth and the sky and the stars and the moon and the plants and the animals. And he created man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work the land and gave him a beautiful wife called Eve. And that is the beginning and the horrible, horrible entrance of sin into the world and God's redemptive plan that began back then. And then we fast forward all the way to the end of history, and that's when Jesus returns, judges the earth, and there is a new heaven and a new earth. But the focal point of all history, as we know it, is the cross. And for 4,000 years, history looked forward to the cross. And for 2,000 years, history has looked backward to the cross. Only in light of the cross, only in light of God, only in light of the redemptive nature of God does history make sense. So I just want to say, if you're listening and you think, you know, this is a famous one for me. Well, I don't know why I have to take history because I want to be a worship leader or a pastor or a missionary. And so why do I need to bother with history? Well, because history is all about God. It's all about what he's done, what he's going to do, and why he's doing it and why he's done it and why he will do it. And so to try to understand history apart from God, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a bunch of dry, boring, dull facts. But we know that history isn't. It is exciting. And so just as for history, we look at the story, which is God, you know, putting events, allowing events to happen until the time that Jesus comes, and then afterward, allowing people and events and situations and places to be so that people will come to know the Savior. There's also a lot of stories in history, and one of the most exciting things about history is to find this story. And that's one thing I think people that I just had lunch today with a young woman, and she was saying, yeah, I mean, I love historical fiction. I love when we did the history labs, but I don't always just sitting down and reading a textbook and learning about history. And maybe that's you. Maybe say, you know, I just don't like sitting down reading a textbook. And maybe it's because of the way the textbook is written. This happened, then this happened, then this happened. But what about the story? What about the conversations? What about the people and their personalities? All of that is history too. So hold on to your hats, because, you know, we're going to cover a lot today about how to enjoy history. People who really enjoy history do look for the story of God moving through time and the stories. They also are like investigative reporters. They want to know who was involved in this, what happened, when did it happen, where did it happen, why on earth did it happen, and how did this all come about? Maybe you can just start by pretending that you are a detective and you're investigating and you're trying to find out what happened. And that can put a whole new slant on history for you. Cody hates history, but he knows all the football stats from the last 50 years. And he knows what all those players who are part of those stats, he knows what they look like and he knows a lot about them. Brittany hates history, but she loves dressing retro. And she knows this is from the 50s, this is from the 60s. She knows all that stuff. Mrs. Johnson hates teaching history, but she decorates her house country style. Nate hates history, but he loves vintage cars. Let me tell you a secret. All four of these people enjoy history, but they just don't know it. You see, Cody knows the history of football and the people involved in that history. Brittany knows the history of fashion, and Nate knows the history of cars. Mrs. Johnson decorates her house in a historic style, pioneers and early Americans. So all four of these people are enjoying a part of history. The key would be for each of them to enjoy history would be connect through that hobby or that interest that they have. So think about yourself. What is your connection to history? Because all of us enjoy things, and almost anything that we could enjoy usually has some kind of history to it. Say you're involved in a club, like say you're a mom and you're involved in the garden club, and the garden club's been around 100 years. That garden club has a history, and we don't think of it as a history. We think, oh, that person was president, and yeah, four of her aunts have been president of the garden club, and that's all history. Or maybe you love movies, and you like movies set in World War II times, and there's a ton of movies set in World War II. If you know, we like to watch movies when we study history, and boy, you can never narrow it down. You know, okay, let's just spend 2 weeks watching World War II movies. Just kidding. And so if you're a movie buff, maybe you know all about how movies have changed, how they've developed, different actors, different producers, different directors. Maybe you enjoy watching older movies, maybe some old Jimmy Stewart movies, and a lot of those are historical, not just what the movie's about, but actually the making of the movie, who's in the movie, and all of those things. So if you're a movie buff, chances are you like the history of movies as well. And what about sports? Any good sports fan knows all the players and all the stats, not just the ones of today, but the great ones of the past. So that's another avenue to history. One of the things that you can do to enjoy history, or as a mom to help your teens and your children enjoy history, is to find a connecting point that can be a focus throughout the year of history. That will really make a difference for your enjoyment level. So think about it. What is your connection to the past? Do you belong to a family that has a lot of family stories? You know, I grew up in a family where we would always tell these family stories, and we would be telling the same story. In fact, there's a family story from my family, my mom's side, where my parents and my grandparents were living in Venezuela. And so they came back to visit, and my mom's grandmother, my great-grandmother, was showing them the brand new whipped cream in a can that had just come out. And she got it out, and she was so excited to show her son and her daughter-in-law. She's like, Lonnie, Louise, look, this is brand new. And she starts squirting it, and she gets excited, and she squirts it all over my grandfather's pants. The next year, a whole year later, my grandfather and grandmother are back again, and they're sitting around the dinner table, and they're laughing about what happened the year before. And then my grandmother takes out the whipped cream to squirt it on top of everyone's bowl, and again she squirts my grandfather. So the family story includes a family story, and I think that's pretty cool. But my family grew up with a lot of family stories, and they can be a great way to connect to the past. Because if you have a grandmother who was alive in the Vietnam War, or even maybe the World War II or the Korean War, you have a connection there, and you can ask questions, and you can kind of get a personal slant. And again, that goes back to the story, because what really makes history exciting is the story. And the stories and the interesting things, that's what we do in our life. You know, we tell each other stories. How was your day? And then you tell a story about your day. So maybe you like cars and trucks or boats or motorcycles or bikes or something like that. And that can be a connection to history, because you can focus on, like, what did they drive? What did they steer? You know, trains, things like that. You can focus on that. Maybe your connection is sports. I mentioned football earlier, but there's baseball, basketball, soccer, car racing, horse racing. Maybe you like horses. Maybe you're a horse person. Wow, horses have played a huge part in history. What about, are you a foodie? Do you love food? Do you love recipes? It's really fun to try to find old recipes and then modernize them, so that you can use them and make them and other people can make them. And that's how we ended up with our American History Cookbook and Ancient History Cookbook and Travel the World Cookbook, because we would just find recipes that we could either Americanize or update so that we could use them in our family. When you're studying history, you can focus on the connection. And I'm going to explain how you would do that. Like, once you know what your connection is, what really interests you, maybe it's music, maybe it's fashion, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to explain then how your connection can make history fun and enjoyable. And then I'm also going to give you some tips to remember dates and places and people and things like that. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
History shouldn't be boring. Meredith and Laura have some exciting new ebooks to bring the fun and excitement back into history. Studying the Middle Ages? Get Let's Have Our Own Medieval Banquet and Cook Up Some Fun. Studying ancient history? How about making some recipes from the Ancient History Cookbook? Or get some creative ideas from Let's Have Our Own Olympic Games or Let's Have Our Own Archaeological Dig. These books are available at Amazon.com. The ebooks are available at powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions exists to serve you. We want to equip you to be joyful and successful in your homeschooling adventure. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We're talking about one of my favorite subjects, history. I love history. And we've talked about the story that God is writing, this grand story, with the beginning, creation, a focal point, Jesus, and an end, the new heaven and the new earth. We also talked about how to make a connection to history and to figure out what your connection is. As you're listening, you probably in your mind think of something that you really, really like and that you find very interesting. For some girls, it's fashion. And what a fun thing to do is to learn about fashion through the ages, and that can be your connection. So does that mean when you study history that you only study about your connection? Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about, but it becomes a huge part of your studies. Let me just kind of walk you through how you would do that, because it really does work and it really does make history more fun. So say you're a guy or a girl and you love sports and you're studying 20th century history. You're a baseball fan. So you notice that at the beginning of the 20th century, baseball is the most popular sport in America, hands down. So maybe you kind of look into how the leagues got started, how the different teams that were there, maybe their names were different. And I'll give you a hint. One name used to be the Red Stockings, but they're called something different now. Maybe you can figure out, if you're a baseball fan, what that is. But you can kind of study the game. So you're starting the 20th century. You know that baseball is just it. And so as you're studying the turn of the century, you might start out by trying to find, I don't know if they have any of these games televised. They probably don't from that far back. But maybe you could somehow find some pictures of games. Maybe you can find some sports articles or radio. Oh, no, they didn't have radio back then, did they, at the turn of the 20th century? So you're going to try to find some photographs. You're going to try to find some newspaper articles about some games that happened in the 20th century. And you're just going to read about them. And you're going to notice people that were there and what people did. And then that's going to take you back to the time period where you are. So now you know this is what baseball was like at the beginning of the 20th century. And then, you know, you start learning about all the other things too. So what it does is it actually takes you to the time period in an interesting way. And then you try to work on, like, who is connected in any way to baseball. And, you know, which is the president that was the first one to throw the opening pitch of the season. And I won't tell you that. You can kind of investigate that yourself if you're a baseball fan. What about if you love fashion and you want to look at history through fashion? So what you would do is you would go online and Google, like, 1899, 1900, 1901, and just let pictures come up, you know, of maybe the presidents, business owners, famous people, and things like that. And as those pictures come up, you look at them and you begin to have a feel for what fashion was like at the turn of the century when everything was started. You might want to just stick with America. You might want to look all over the world. But now you're starting with an idea of this is what people were wearing at this time period. And then you go from there and you learn about the time period. You can do that with food. What were popular foods? What were popular recipes? You might want to get out a recipe cookbook that was really popular at the time and see what kind of, you know, how did they cook? What did they use? What ingredients did they use? You can do the same with art, what art was popular. And I would encourage you, when you're looking at art, if you want to get a feel for art in a historical context, we tend to look at, you know, like movements in art as far as Impressionism and then, you know, Dada and all this kind of stuff. Like, I'm still talking about the 20th century, I guess, because I just was talking about that. So I'll just keep talking about it. But say you are doing that. You know, you're just looking at those movements. Well, that's not necessarily the art that the average person liked and enjoyed. So you're kind of looking at a very small segment of our culture and our society. And yes, it is a movement. And yes, that's interesting to study. But if you really want to get a feel for what people loved, look at advertisements, because advertisements are, their whole attempt is to try to appeal to the general mass of public. So say, you know, you pull out an ad from 1901 for Coca-Cola. And it's really cute if you do that, because you'll see it's touted as medicinal, which I think is fine, really funny, because now it's like, oh, you're drinking a soda. That's so wicked. Sugar is so evil. So it's just funny how times have changed. So, so there's the medicine Coke, and now it's like the demon Coke, right? So ads have really changed, but you see the drawing, you see like what it's portraying, the virtues that are portrayed in the different ads. And that's a really neat way to figure out, like, what is attractive to the average person who lived in that time period, and what virtues are, like, kind of agreed upon. Like, you know, we sort of all agree we want our children to be safe. That might be something that we would say today, but that was probably not really that much of an issue back in 1900 in America. Not like it is now. So very interesting to be able to kind of look at art. Anyway, so we got off on art, but you can do the same with music. I love to go through time with music. And every time we study history, we always add music. But if you're a big music person, if you're a musician, if you're a singer, if you just love music, you can start there. You can start with the music and what were people listening to and get a feel for it. You know, maybe watch, maybe listen to some songs from YouTube. You can find almost songs from almost anywhere on YouTube. That's really fun. And so you listen to it, you get a feel for it, and then you jump into the same with architecture, what architecture styles are popular. That's really fun to do in American history. You know, you look at the salt boxes, you look at the colonials, then we move to the Victorian times when everything was so fancy, and then it's really funny to look at what was popular in the 50s and 60s and 70s, kind of odd-looking houses, you know, and then you have, like, retro houses going back to older times. So very, very interesting and a really fun way. What if you're a battle and war buff? Now, I know so many guys who love the details of battles, and that is super cool. And what a great way to start history if you love that is to just start, you know, okay, we're going to start with the Civil War. Yeah, let's not talk about all the reasons and everything first. Let's just jump into the battles. Let's just look at the war. Let's just look at the battles. And then after we've, you know, done what we enjoy, then we go back, well, why were they fighting anyway? And who was on what side? And what were they doing? And what was going on? And so that can be another way to remember. You're connecting history to something that you like, and that's going to help you enjoy it more. You can do the same thing with philosophies, economics. My favorite to do too is, what is God doing? Faith. What are people, how are people responding to God? What is God doing in the earth? And, you know, I always love to know, okay, yes, I want to know what the government's doing. I want to know what businessmen are doing. But I really, really, really want to know, how is God reaching men and women and children? And how are they responding to him? And who is he using in a mighty way to reach the lost? And wow, history is filled. I mean, from the earliest days when the Christians were being martyred for their faith, until the 20th century, you know, and even today, of course, but the 20th century where you have Elizabeth Elliot, her husband is martyred by cannibal natives in Ecuador, and she goes and lives with that tribe and ends up leading her husband's murderer to the Lord. Wow. I mean, that's super cool, and that's super exciting to know that God is always moving in history. You can do literature if you love literature, classic literature. So say that, you know, you're studying colonial times, and so you read something that was written in colonial times. Now, you can do the same thing with historical fiction. Just remember, a lot of times historical fiction takes the time period where it's written and the values of the culture when in the time period when it's written, and it infuses them in that ancient time period where it's supposed to be happening. So I'll give you an example. Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote about colonial times in The Scarlet Letter, but he actually was living in the 19th century or the 1800s. And so the culture of that time was now infused into the colonial times, and his viewpoint of colonial times, which may or may not have been accurate. So very, very interesting. So when you just think classic literature is more authentic, more real, but you can definitely do historical fiction too. I love both. I love both. And then, of course, you can do writing. What were people writing? Just writing about stuff that you enjoy and like, poetry and science. You know, some of you are like, I don't like history, I like science. Well, great. We'll come to history with science. Who were the famous scientists of the day? Maybe instead of looking at Ben Franklin as a statesman and an ambassador and a founding father, look at him as a scientist. And maybe, you know, when you're learning about him, start with all his inventions, bifocals and swim fins and the lightning rod and the Franklin stove and things like that, and look at things that way. So that's just such a great way to connect your interests with history. So you do the connection first, and then the rest of the stuff follows, and it's going to fit into that thing that you're interested in. And that's really fun. It's really exciting. So now I want to give you some tips to remember history, people, places and events. So what is going to help you really remember those things? The first thing that really helps my children and me to remember things in history is to use maps and photos. So whenever we can find paintings, photographs, and maps, we use them galore. And we use modern maps so we know, okay, this is exactly where it is. And then we try to find old maps so we know what were the boundary lines, because you know boundary lines are always changing. And also very interesting, this is something I discovered recently, that say you're studying a time period, a really good source of painting is the court painter. And so, for instance, in the court of Charles I of England, it was Anthony van Dyck. And his paintings reflect the court. They just give us a visual of what court life was like. So we're talking about King Charles, and then we're talking about how he's affecting the colonies, but we're also talking about how the English Civil War is going to happen, and who was King Charles, and what was he like. When you see a picture of him, and of course if you get a hold of Anthony van Dyck's paintings, you can see a ton of pictures of him and his children and his wife and the court, and that's really exciting. And so that's a really fun thing to do, is to find the palace painter. A lot of times kings would actually support a painter, and the painter would just spend a lot of time painting. Because remember, it would be like having a photographer today. I'm sure there's a photographer, an official White House photographer, who just takes lots of pictures. In the same way, it would be like the photographer, only he's a painter. That's a great source of stuff. You'll find so many beautiful paintings online, so many awesome photographs. Look at them. Like, don't just talk about someone. Try to find a painting of them, or try to find a picture of them. Because once you connect a name in your book with a picture, it will change. You will be able to remember that person better than if you don't see a picture of him. And then once you have a sense of where something is happening, don't just look at the map, but get pictures of places too. That can really help you. The next thing is timelines. Timelines help so much to get kind of a perspective, like, okay, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Or while this was going on here, this was going on over there. So timelines are great for giving you sort of a chronological view of history. Now, we do not memorize dates, except for we have about 15 to 20 dates that we memorize. And how do we memorize them? What we do is when we just open history class, we open in prayer, and then we recite those dates. So circa 4100, God creates the world, blah, blah, blah. And we just go through about 15 to 20 dates. And those dates were chosen. It's like God created the world, the flood, Abraham, David, sort of key people that we know very well because we read the Bible. And those are key dates that we can kind of have in our mind and then fit ancient history around those key dates, because it really does help history make sense when we're relating it to those key dates. In the New Testament, things like the Battle of Hastings in 1066, because that really changed what England was like once you brought over the French conqueror from Normandy, then England is going to change and then feudalism is going to come and all kinds of stuff. That was a really key date. It's also going to intertwine France and England for about 500 years. And so that's kind of interesting. They're going to be unentangled with the Hundred Years' War when it finally ends. That was a long, long war. Those are some things to consider. The different dates that I chose that we memorized is the fall of Rome, because after Rome fell, then you have the beginning of the Middle Ages, and things are different. Rome's not in charge anymore, but then the Roman Catholic Church begins to be in charge. And then, of course, we have the Reformation, and then more modern dates like World War I and II. These are just key things that there was changes, dramatic change. After World War I, for example, empires that had existed for hundreds of years fell. So no longer did you have the Austria-Hungarian Empire. No longer did you have the Ottoman Turk Empire. The Turkish Empire existed for so long. Wow. And now all of a sudden, it's gone. Then you have these key things. They're just key changes after World War One. Many countries that had a king after World War One, they got rid of their king and became a republic or a democracy. So very, very interesting. So we carefully picked these dates as dates to sort of hang our hat on, if you will, that, you know, once we memorize those, we can relate other things to those dates. So in saying all of that, If you're interested in the dates that we have chosen, they are on the show notes. And the show notes, you can just look at Finish Well Radio, our podcast page, and it's podcast number 62. One of the main things that we do is we have history labs, and those have been a blast. We might play games that were popular in the time. We might make movies. We might make radio shows. We do a lot of crafts. We do a lot of cooking and baking. We make dioramas. Yes, even in high school, we do all that stuff. And I don't even give tests on history because I found for long-term memory, doing hands-on stuff for my teenagers helps them remember much better than memorizing facts for a test that they take the test and then they forget them. So if we do a radio on Winston Churchill, they will remember so much about Winston Churchill for years and years. I mean, when they're 40, they'll still remember. So it's just a more effective way to actually remember things for the long term. And so that's one thing. We love history labs. They are a blast, and we really have a good time with them. And finally, when it comes to history, have fun. Look for fun things to do. One of the things we did one time was I wanted the children and the teens, you know, is like my family seemed to be from young to old. So I was like, how can I give all of them a feel for how life changed from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s to the 90s to the new century? So what I did is I got sitcoms. So I got Ozzie and Harriet, Andy Griffith or Leave It to Beaver, Dick Van Dyke, The Brady Bunch. I can't remember what I got for the 70s, but then for the 80s it was Home Improvement. Then for the 90s it was Home Improvement. For the 80s I think I did Family Ties or The Cosby Show. And anyway, we just put these shows in so they watched 1950 show, 1960 show, 1970 show, 1980 show, 1990 show. And of course, I think there were some extra ones in there too. But anyway, they watched all those shows. And then we talked about it after, like, what do you notice? What's different about the beginning shows and the end? So we talked about fashion. We talked about manners. We talked about the mom's role in the house. We talked about children respecting their parents versus children not respecting their parents, things like that. So they really got a view, and that was educational. So, yes, you watched 3 hours of TV for history. Yes, we did. But we learned so much, and we learned so much about that time period. But we had fun. You know, we were laughing. We were having fun. We had fun when we discussed it. Sometimes it's easy to suck the life out of things. Being educational doesn't mean suck the life out of something. If you're not having fun, then change the way you're doing it, because history is exciting. It's full of stories and adventures and neat people and horrible people and great ideas and horrible ideas. And in the end, it's so important. You know, when Jesus was in the upper room, it said that he went to wash their feet. But you know what it says before that? He says he knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. So, and I think that's really profound. As a people, we want to know where we've come from. We want to know where we're going. And ultimately to know that in the end, Jesus wins. He judges the earth and there's a new heaven and a new earth. And the focal point is Jesus. But truthfully, we're part of a grand adventure, but we need to know what's happened so far in the grand adventure that we're part of. So history does matter, but there are ways. And I hope some of you try, especially finding what you really like and connecting to that, going back and looking at fashion or sports or battles or whatever really floats your boat. Maybe it's a boat. I hope that really goes well for you. And I hope that some of these tips that I gave you about being able to remember people and things goes well too. So you have an awesome, awesome, awesome night or day whenever you're listening to this. And I will see you in 2 weeks. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.